thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
It's time now for Pets Corner, and our resident vet, Kirsten Simpson, joins us from the Veterinary Centre in Crow Road in Glasgow. Hello.
Hiya, hi there.
And how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Actually, I'm off work for the next 2 weeks, so just chilling out, you know, relaxing, quite good.
It's all right for some.
Doesn't happen often, so I'll take it when I can get it.
And today we're going to talk about a couple of things. And the first thing I was going to ask you about is collars and coats and things for dogs and cats and things. Start with collars. What's the advice on that for good control of a dog and comfort? How tight should a collar be?
Tighter than most folk think, actually. I think most folk coming to see us have them surprisingly quite loose, which you find out when the dog tries to run out the door and they try and pull it back in and the collar comes off. So usually we say you can get about 2 fingers underneath it. It should be pretty snug, really. So some dogs obviously are, it's more awkward than others because they have quite chunky necks and quite small heads like pugs and that as well. So sometimes harnesses are better for them. But most dogs' collars should be pretty snug. So just sort of 2 fingers underneath, but you can move them around. Not like just force them in. Like you should be able to kind of like move them around quite easily.
And that's your fingers flat, not sticking.
Yeah. Just sort of slide them in gently.
It was it's funny. I'll tell you a Lucas story. Lucas doesn't like lifts, elevators. Aww. He doesn't like things that you can see through on the ground. So sometimes I forget, and if he's come to stay with me, we'll be going to the station, and I'll have forgotten, and I'll be walking towards the elevator, and he'll just bang, front legs down. And if you're not careful, you just you'll stop and the collar will come with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, and yeah, that seems tight enough, though.
Yeah, I know. As I say, some dogs, like the shape of their heads and necks are more awkward for some collars as well. So they have quite a sort of chunky neck and quite a narrow, thin head. So it might just kind of fit their neck, but if they pull, it might just slide over their head really easily as well. So some of those dogs might require more a harness and a collar. So you've got sort of double kind of control just to make sure.
What's a choke lead?
Yeah, they're kind of old-fashioned, I think.
No, here we go again.
No, if used correctly, they can help. Like some folk have them, but I think some folk assume if they've got a dog on a choke collar then, or a choke chain, then it'll mean the dog will stop pulling. It won't. We have dogs like Staffies that'll just pull and pull until they almost kind of pass out. You can hear them like can barely breathe, but they will just keep pulling. So some dogs it helps to kind of like correct them and check them. It's supposed to be more a sort of check type collar rather than a sort of choke chain. I think picking the right collar for your dog is definitely one of the sort of best things to kind of check when you first get a dog as well, and see how they're going to be longer term too.
So what about cats then? Is it the same for cats?
It's a little bit different in that obviously if you're an indoor only cat, you should be okay with sort of any old collar you can buy. But if you've got a cat that goes outdoors, the requirement, well, what we would advise would be that they have a collar that's got a quick release bit to it. So for some cats that can be, you know, the buckle sort of snaps off really easily if it's under lots of pressure, or some of them have a sort of built-in kind of quick release bit of material in it. So if any kind of excessive pressure is exerted on that, it'll kind of tear. Because we've seen some cats that have been sort of, you know, caught or got the collar caught under their front leg and it's kind of sliced through the skin there, or other kind of various injuries in that as well, or have been hung by them too. So a quick release kind of catch or something built into your cat's collar if you're going outside for certain is quite required.
Coats for dogs and cats. Now you see them with coats on it. Are they necessary?
I think in some ways, yes, in some ways, no. I think certain breeds of dogs, some folk put coats on them because it helps keep them clean rather than actually helps to sort of make them warm. So dogs like, you know, Whippets, Greyhounds, Italian Greyhounds, all the kind of really fine-haired dogs, a coat in our kind of Scottish winters is not a bad thing to do for sure, like a nice kind of fleecy thin coat. But you do get the ones that are more the kind of protective type coats, so that are more kind of like, you know, horse rug material, so they're quite kind of water resistant. So some folk put them on their dogs when they're going in the rain to help them sort of keep dry for coming inside. Or you can get ones that kind of buckle up underneath them and under the whole entire body. So again, it helps prevent like wee dogs getting absolutely soaking wet in the rain as well. So it's more protective, and they get less baths and less kind of soggy dogs in the house as well, so it does help a little bit.
But can they overheat with that?
Yeah, I think definitely some dogs do. I think if you pick the wrong kind of material for your dog, say if you had like a nice healthy Labrador running around wearing a sort of like super thick fleecy type blanket, it probably could get a bit warm actually. Even if it's not even that, if it's more, you know, a bit wet outside but not actually even that cold, they probably could overheat quite easily, yeah.
Right, let's move on to signs of ill health. What just things, just in a ballpark thing, what things should we look for in a dog and a cat that point to the fact that it's not well?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, less. I mean, the main things I would say is anything that is quite different for your cat and dog. So, I see most folk tend to know their cat and dog's regimes. So if it's a little bit different, that's okay. If the trend is something quite major is happening, so say if they used to like poo every day and you haven't seen them pooing for like 3 or 4 days, that's a little bit odd. Are they constipated? Have they got an obstruction? What's going on with that? If your cat or dog vomits, like, you know, every couple of weeks and that's normal for them, that's okay. But if you think they're vomiting like every single day or can't get food down at all, that would worry me. So major changes in your dog and cat's regime is probably one of the main things that most folk come in for. And sometimes it is pretty much, it's all fine. When they come to see us, everything's fine and their mind's put at ease. But you do get some that come in and they're like, oh, geez, that is quite a bit different. And you find something we're worrying going on as well. So any big change, really. Other main things would be, mainly more so like older cats and dogs, if they're drinking or peeing more than usual, that could be a sign from anything from being diabetic to having kidney problems to being Cushing's, which is sort of a weird sort of hormonal syndrome. Vomiting, diarrhea more than usual, weight loss, like trying to get weight off them, lethargy or a cough. Those are kind of the main things I would say. I mean, I think some folk might listen and go, oh God, my cat and dog's got all those kind of things. But some cats and dogs can like cough a bit, vomit a bit. It's more, if it's normal for them, that's okay. But if you think it's becoming more and more apparent that it's happening more often, and you think other things are kind of going on with them as well, you're just a bit concerned about things, just have to phone your own vet and pop along and then need to get checked out. Just for peace of mind, I think some folk are happy with that as well.
What about temperatures? Because how do you tell whether a dog or a cat's overheating? Because I know they're different, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, dogs obviously pant to lose heat. And obviously, because dogs can only lose heat through their panting, sometimes through their paws as well. But for cats don't pant. So it's only just their paws they can lose heat through. So if your cat is panting, either it's, you do get some cats that do that when they're super excited and they get like, you know, absolutely knackered and they sort of what we call open mouth breathing. But for most cats, if your cat's kind of mouth breathing, that could be a sign of a heart or a lung problem type thing as well. So, yeah.
So basically, you're just looking for something that's out of the ordinary in a lot of ways.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And obviously, yeah, I mean, some folk like to try and take their cat and dog temperatures at home, which is totally fine, but unfortunately, the only kind of the best way to do it is up the bum, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
Which some folk do. We have some breeders that breed their dog, and obviously, one of the first signs of coming in to about to give birth is their temperature kind of comes down half a degree over a course of a day type thing as well. So if you know your dog's normal temperature, it's not a bad thing to do. I mean, I think some folk panic if they do it, because it's a lot hotter than ours would be. Normal for a dog or a cat is between 38.6 and 39 Celsius, or 101.5 or 102 Fahrenheit. So, I think we're about a degree or so lower than that. So that would be, if you're a human at that temperature, you'd be quite unwell. For a dog or a cat, it's pretty much kind of spot on.
All right, Kirsten, thank you for that. And if you'd like to get in touch with Kirsten, it's quite straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We've got our own Facebook page. If you just look at the Vet Centre in Crow Road in Glasgow, you'll find us. We've also got a web page as well, which is about to get redone in some point soon as well. So, yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your holiday. Kirsten Simpson, thank you for joining us.
Cool, no worries. Thanks. Bye.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.